Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. Hey, like most of you, I had, not have, had trouble sleeping, but I sleep better than ever. And you know what? It's all because of a pillow. Mike Lindell's My Pillow has changed my life for the better, and it works. What makes My Pillow so different is their patented adjustable fill. Now, you can adjust the patented fill to your exact individual comfort need and get the support you absolutely must have. And that means you fall asleep faster, you stay asleep longer. It just works. Now, millions of people have already discovered that MyPillow works for them, and now it's time for you to experience MyPillow for yourself. Just go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Sean, and when you do, Mike Lindell will give you his best offer ever. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 10-year warranty, and a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. So get started and get the sleep you crave and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity, and get Mike Lindell's special 2-for-1 offer. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Sean.
Do you believe he is fit for duty?
Absolutely, he's fit for duty.
Just to make sure we're clear on this, when you analyze his cognitive ability or neurological functions, that is not the same thing as a psychiatric exam.
Given that there is scrutiny of what was overlooked at the time with President Reagan in terms of Alzheimer's and things he was then known to suffer from at a later date, can you say that whether the test that you ran would exclude any of those things and what the possibility of overlooking something like that would be? You know, how can you tell the American people that this time for certain?
Because of its age and continuing his physicals in the future, will you also continue the cognitive test?
You examined him and performed a cognitive assessment.
Right.
What is your take of all the doctors and clinicians all across the country who have said that in this president they see symptoms of this, that, and the other?
Symptoms in what way?
Well, symptoms of dementia.
Is there anyone on the president's medical team, such as a psychiatrist or psychologist, whose job it is to monitor the president's emotional state or watch for potential psychiatric problems or indicators of those?
One more question about the Montreal exam and other sort of mini mental status exams. They're pretty good, but they're not really sensitive if someone's already high functioning. They're not really good at finding early stages of dementia. If the president's worried about it, would you recommend more sophisticated exams?
Are we saying that because of Reagan, all right, we had the issues with Reagan, and the issues that, about this president, cognitive testing, mental acuity testing is not commonly part of an annual physical with the president of the United States? Questions have been asked.
Right.
Going back to that issue, everyone has asked about mental acuity. Those questions have been in the public. And he told Sarah to tell you to stay up here until those questions are answered. Going forward, would you recommend that presidents undergo that type of testing?
How about the media undergoes that type of testing? How about that? I cannot believe this is your media in the country today. I mean, I have been telling everybody how corrupt it is. They've got an echo chamber, media bubble. They only talk to each other. They had convinced themselves. They really believed they were onto something deep and profound. And the deep and profound understanding was, oh, well, he doesn't agree with us. And look at his policies, and he tweets, and he watches Fox News, and he can't possibly be normal. He's got to be, there's some derangement, or maybe it's early onset Alzheimer's disease. That's where these questions came from yesterday, because they have convinced themselves in their insulated echo chamber bubble that they, the almighty media, were correct, and they were in a state of shock, almost equaling the shock of what happened on November, 8th, 2016, when he became the president. And you turn around and then it is, what? Ah, Trump can be president. Ha, ha, woo-hoo. Yeah, run. We want you to run. And Obama saying, oh, he'll never, at least I had the pleasure of being president. And you'll never be president. They were all wrong. And they're all wrong here. And the worst part is it's even getting worse. If you think the questions were bad yesterday, and these questions were atrocious, you know, it was utter stupidity. It was mindless drivel that they think they are deep and profound, and they are not. They think that they are right and smarter than us and you, and they are not. They know better than we do, that you do, and they do not know better. Just look at how the economy turned. It is not by accident that all of this good economic news has come out here. Let's ask about bone spurs. They have bone spurs? He didn't go to Vietnam. Well, wait a minute, but he watches too much TV. And he tweets. That's got to be a sign of mental illness that he's tweeting. And now does it mean because he's a little overweight? Does it mean now that he should have one scoop of ice cream? Is he addicted to drugs? What drugs does he take? Has he ever taken a sleep aid? I'm like, this is your media. And then it gets worse because now the narrative that they have been believing, led by, you know, Dr. Liberal Joe Scarborough and Dr. Mika Brzezinski, who's soon to be bride, you know, they're now saying, well, there's no way that the two-star admiral, who was also the doctor of Obama and the doctor of George W. Bush, this is not his first rodeo. They're now questioning his honesty and integrity. 239, ha, 239. Well, then I'm 170, Scarborough said this morning. Joe, you're not. You know, you look not looking great. And but they felt that they knew better. And then the answer was, well, everybody around him has got to be shocked and surprised because everybody that I talk to and everybody around the president, you know, they speak with these broad sweeping generalizations. Well, I actually can speak from experience, personal experience, having been around the president, having talked to the president. Now, the media wants, how often does Hannity talk to the president? It's none of your business. None of your business who I talk to. None of your business who I eat with. None of your business where I go, what I do. It's just not. But they think that, oh, he must be listening to Fox. Well, how could he possibly watch this crap on your network? You know, there's a reason. I said this on TV last night. There's a reason when Donald Trump does a rally somewhere and you see those people in the back, fake news. And the audience turns around and boos and hisses and chants CNN sucks. By the way, I'm going to unveil a new name for CNN on tonight's Hannity. And I'm going to take all 195 shh holes and put them together. And all of them, we're going to play them all. Yeah, you do not want to miss this tape. This is going to be a Hannity classic tonight. So they go out there with their crazed narrative. Did you address drug addiction with him? Well, you'd find it in his blood and urine, you idiots. They do a full and on extensive testing on both. Does he wear dentures? That was another one of my favorite. How much weight have you suggested the president lose? Did the president, does he need to be sedated? Do you have a life expectancy range? Yeah, he could easily finish this term, I assume, with no health problems whatsoever. He has great genes. And in the next term. What? The next term? A collective heart attack. You know who needs the psychiatric help in the rubber rooms are the people in the news media. They're all sheep with very few exceptions. This is, we had James O'Keefe, what was it, American Pravda. They are the extension, the propaganda arm of all things left-wing liberal socialist. On what basis would you, this is only a philosophical question, would you, doctor, advise the cabinet that the president is unable to discharge his duties? Did you take a waist measurement for the president? Did you test the president's hearing? Could you take us through some of the specific exercises that the president is considering as you look at this routine? He's going to start working out a little bit. Does he watch too much TV? I got to give full credit. Oh, and this is the joke of the day. This was on Newsbusters. Apparently, Joe and Mika are getting an award for responsible journalism. I'm not making this up. Anyway, the distinguished group of journalists, First Amendment leaders, that exemplify responsible journalism and who practice their constitutionally guaranteed duty to seek and report the truth. This is from the Radio Television Digital News Foundation. They're honoring them. are in their First Amendment Awards dinner March the 8th in D.C. I wonder if I'm going to get an invitation. Love to watch that. You know, Dr. Scarborough, Dr. Liberal Joe, and Dr. Mika. Unbelievable. Now, here's how bad it is. Let me give you, and Joe Concha of The Hill actually pointed this out on TV last night. There was a Pew study that showed 95% of the coverage of the president has been negative. And then we have Newsbusters came out with 2017, a full report investigation. The year the news media went to war against the president. That's pretty much it. Because they did go to war with the American, but it's not just against the president, but the American people, a war against the truth. And the Trump presidency, the biggest story of the year, and what they found out, accounting for one out of every 3 minutes of evening news airtime, nearly 100 hours in total. The three big networks, the tone of the coverage, 90% negative and only 10% positive. It doesn't include neutral statements. More than two-fifths of new evening newscasts, their coverage 43% focused on controversy, never policy. The Russia investigation alone accounted for one-fifth of all of Trump coverage. We still have no evidence of collusion. And despite their massive coverage of Russia, the networks had no airtime for questions about how the investigation began and whether Robert Mueller's current investigation is abusively biased, as I've been reporting. I mean, this is insane. And let me tell you why it should matter to you. Because they're not talking about the president's successes. Don't they owe it to you to tell you, the American people, about the good economy and degrading of ISIS and the president's successes? Is that fair and balanced? And by comparison, in the Pew study, while Trump had 95% negative, well, in the first year of Barack Obama, the anointed one, who they never vetted at all, he had only 20% negative coverage. It was fawning coverage for him. But they're also not talking about what are the stories. We now have everything that we've been discussing, and I know to many of you, I see some comments online that you're frustrated. I'm frustrated, too. I wish I could snap my fingers and get right to the inner core of the onion, but that's not how the process works sometimes, and every night we're peeling another layer away, and I've got a group of really smart, hardworking, and intelligence deputies with me, like Sarah Carter, who's going to join us later, and John Solomon, who's going to join us, and Luke Rosiak over at the Daily Caller, and Tom Fenton, and Victoria Tunsing, and Joe DeGeneva, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some people, but you get the point, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. We're getting the truth out, and we're doing it as quickly as we can. But because it didn't fit their preconceived fake news narrative, we now are at the nexus of getting to the truth about the Clinton bought and paid for dossier. She rigs a primary. She tried to rig a general election with Russian propaganda she paid for. Then on top of that, she has Comey and Strzok and other FBI people, because they took the FBI investigation out of the field agent's hands, the rank and file that would have done a good job. Well, they put the fix in and rigged that investigation before and exonerated her before they ever did the investigation. And then then we got Uranium One. There was a big arrest on Friday and 11 counts on Uranium One. And now the email server investigation is back up and running. And I dare to say, if it wasn't for a few of us out here and some of my fellow talk radio hosts, I don't think any of this ever would have happened. We're making progress. And I'm not taking a victory lap, because it's not about me. It's about our country. It's about our Constitution. It's about equal justice under the law. It is about probably the biggest scandal you'll ever experience in our lifetime, to rob the American people of their choice in a presidential election. How is it conceivable or possible that the media bought into a narrative and they convince themselves in their little echo chamber bubble that the president is suffering from dementia, early onset Alzheimer's? The problem is they honestly, and I've said this for years, they think if you are a conservative that is evil. They have bought their own talking points. They now have convinced themselves that if you're a conservative, you govern conservatively, if you're not politically correct like they are on everything, then it's just evil. This doesn't come out of nowhere, but the sick and twisted and ideological imaginations of those people that call themselves journalists. This idea that they echo, because they're the echo chamber. They're an extension of the all things leftist, liberal, all things statist, all things that we disagree with. That's why every 4 years, the same narratives, the same talking points, the same playbook is used, where if you're a conservative, that means you're racist. If you're a conservative, you're a misogynist. If you're a conservative, you're anti-gay. If you're a conservative, you know, you're a Second Amendment nutjob. In other words, you're an irredeemable deplorable. Let me break it down. That is clinging to your God, your guns, your Bibles, and your religion. There's a reason they wouldn't cover Hillary Clinton taking the money from countries that abuse women and kill gays and lesbians and persecute Christians and Jews. You know, I don't know if there's anyone else besides me that kind of brought that up a lot during the election year. You know, there's a reason they won't, because they've convinced themselves liberals good, conservatives bad. Well, I've convinced myself that most politicians just suck and are not following their promises and not doing the job of serving the American people. That's my take on most politicians. And that's why Republicans, you know, couldn't keep their repeal replace promise. And that's why Republicans couldn't, you know, seven senators vote on a full repeal of Obamacare in 2015, can't do it in 2017 when it actually matters. These are incredible times we're living in. There is an informational crisis, but it's all about an agenda. But they have convinced themselves that all of you, the words irredeemable, deplorable, did not come out, you know, haphazardly. It is a deeply held belief system of the left and what they think a conservative represents. What are we fighting for, though? What was the whole election about? Forgotten men, forgotten women, people in poverty on food stamps and out of the labor force. I said it every day. You know, there's nobody that ever interviews me that wants to get to the core of what drives me or motivates me. And then, of course, securing our borders and identifying our enemies and beating back those that would destroy our way of life. Those are all things I talk about, not them.
News all afternoon. When you get off work, be sure to check in first for everything you missed during the day. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
25 till the top of the hour. Do you know it's 20 years ago today, the Drudge Report had up there Newsweek kills story on White House intern Michael Isikoff at the time. Blockbuster report, 23-year-old sex relationship with the president. Matt Drudge has been literally single-handedly driving stories or informing us of stories. I can't even imagine doing a program anymore without having the availability of the Drudge Report 20 years ago today. You know, this is the digital age now. This has now changed forever. Why is Monica Lewinsky blaming Drudge? It's not Drudge's fault. He's supposed to report on the news. Anyway, took three more days for others in the media to report. Remember the dress, the cigar, the drama.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I never told anybody to lie. Not a single time. Never.
Yeah, well, he did. A friend of mine and some friends of mine over at Fox, after dozens of Hollywood movies portraying Richard Nixon as evil incarnate, etc., after multiple biops or whatever you want to call them on trashing Ronald Reagan as a warmongering, you know, amiable dunce. By the way, the Republican used that word against Ronald Reagan. They didn't like him either because he was anti-establishment. But anyway, finally, somebody's making a scandal movie about the only elected president in the United States who was impeached and put on trial in the Senate, Bill Clinton. Anyway, it's called Scandalous. It's It's an up-close look at the Clintons in the 90s. For you younger people that didn't live through this like I did, you need to watch this. It'll stun you. And anyway, it's a 7- or 8-part installment, documentary style, and you'll be taken inside the events that literally took over Washington, D.C. and led to the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. Yes, he was impeached.
Slick Willie.
And it's narrated by acclaimed actor Bruce McGill. This all starts, I think, this weekend. What's this? It starts January 21st. It'll examine the investigations of then-President Clinton by the Office of Independent Counsel. And the story will unfold each Sunday night at 8 p.m. I can't wait for the great one. When is the great one's program on the Fox News Channel starts? That's going to be great. It was a lot of fun the other night when we had it. It's filmed in cinematic style. And you're going to hear from more than 45 people who were involved on both sides of that investigation and subsequent impeachment trial, revisiting the twists and turns daily after Monica Lewinsky captivated the country. The whole story captivated the country. I know that, and by the way, I think it's important. I read, I think it was earlier this week, that Monica's moved on with her life. I mean, I'm all in favor of that. She doesn't have to watch it. She doesn't have to relive it. She deserves to be left alone. She was 21 years old. Are we really going to blame her about, what about in the Me Too era, what about the guy that had all the power of the Oval Office? Now, was it consensual? Apparently, yes. But that wasn't the case with other women. Kathleen Willey, Paula Jones, or Juanita Broderick. Anyway, so that's going to be interesting to watch. And I heard it's phenomenal from friends of mine. This is an interesting side bit on the immigration issue in the country. The president has now reinstated the citizenship questions on the 2020 census questionnaire, which are probably going to end up costing sanctuary states in a lot more ways than one. And Politico is now reporting the Department of Justice sent a letter on December the 12th to the Census Bureau asking that the citizenship question, which was eliminated in 2010 during the Obama administration, be reinstated for the 2020 census. Democrats fear the move could cost California congressional seat and billions in funding. By the way, Mark's show, I'm told, starts February 2018. We're trying to get the specific date. Anyway, according to the Justice Department General Counsel, Arthur Gray, the data is critical to the department's enforcement of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and its important protections against racial discrimination in voting. And he added, to fully enforce those requirements, the department needs a reliable calculation of the citizen voting age population in localities where voting rights violations are alleged or suspected. And Democrats know that the revised 2010 U.S. Census questionnaire, which did not ask about the interviewee's citizenship under the penalty of perjury, encouraged many California's approximately 2.35 million illegal immigrants and 1.65 million legal aliens to participate improperly in the U.S. Census. Well, that's going to be interesting to watch that. You know, I keep looking at this headline. It's on the side of my desk here. 2017, this is Newsbusters, the year the news media went to war against the president. I'd say 2017, the year the news media went to war against the American people. It's bigger than a president. We the people, because they don't want to give us the truth. That's how profound that crisis is. You know, after a eminently qualified White House physician, so we have the admiral go out yesterday and announce that the president is in excellent health, physically, mentally. The media is in overdrive now to keep their narrative going and trying to counter the diagnosis. And you have CNN. I'll have a new name for CNN by the end of the show on Hannity tonight. You don't want to miss it. Also going to do all 195 shh holes that they used on the air. Oh, I couldn't stop myself last night. I'm like, why am I forbidden from saying it? I'm not forbidden. I mean, if I really said it, I'm not going to get fired. No, I wouldn't get fired for that. I just would say, why do you have to do that? And then I'd have to sit through a meeting I don't want to sit through. Being told that as policy, we said we don't want to do that. So I have to have some respect for my employers. They pay me, after all. But there was a Fox Pod. We're not saying that on the air. And up to now, nobody said it on the air. And CNN just went crazy with it. Right? They couldn't get in enough all in a row.
This is CNN.
So I've got a pretty good new name for them tonight. House Republicans want top Obama intelligence official prosecuted for perjury. They're apparently wondering why General Flynn is being prosecuted for making false statements to the FBI while President Obama's most senior intelligence official, James Clapper, is still roaming around free as a bird. Speaking of fake news, CNN, he works for them, as I understand it, after he blatantly lied to Congress during an under oath testimony. Several GOP lawmakers would like to see the Justice Department prosecute James Clapper for giving false testimony to Congress about domestic surveillance before it's too late, and maybe after what Devin Nunes was handed from the Department of Justice, maybe all the information and evidence that we need is there. By the way, Michael Wolff's Fire and Fury is to be adapted into a TV series. Just took 20 years to get the Fox News Channel, the only ones that are doing this whole thing on, you know, I think what the biggest story ever up till now, which is, of course, this phony media. Justice Department report links terrorist attacks to chain migration and diversity lottery. Nobody's reporting this either, because the Justice Department put out a new report that reveals 3 out of 4 radical Islamists who have been convicted of committing terrorist acts against our country, the United States of America, gain entry to this country under lax immigration laws permitting chain migration and the diversity visa lottery. Now, we just heard that Lindsey Graham is not going to support a continuing resolution. I got the entire backstory on what's going on with Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham has wanted some form of amnesty forever, him and John McCain. Now, Dick Durbin calls over to the White House, tells the president something that was a lie. Shocking. He tells the president that, oh, we've got a deal on DACA. We got a deal on immigration. It'll include the wall. It'll include everything. Well, 2005, they were supposed to have the wall as well, but they never wanted to fund the wall because they don't really want it. We had the wall in 2006. We had it in 2013. The people that made the, oh, we want the wall, Dick Durbin and Chuck Schumer, but they have never had an intention to fund the wall. I'm a trust but verify guy. So if the president's going to do anything as it relates to immigration, yeah, you got to end chain migration. You got to end the visa lottery system, the diversity lottery system. And we do need to vet people from countries that, for example, practice Sharia law, which is the antithesis of our constitutional values. So anyway, we have this study where 73% of the 549 individuals convicted of international terrorism-related charges in the U.S. federal courts were immigrants, according to this report by the Justice Department and Homeland Security. The report specifically highlighted convicted international terrorists who were admitted to the United States by the diversity visa lottery or by chain migration, 73%. Chain migration is responsible for 61% of all immigration to the United States between 1981 and 2016. Now, why wouldn't we act on that information and protect the American people? And all of this, with all of the wringing of hands on all this, does anyone ever care about the American people here? And, you know, when I sat in on that, I was with Governor Perry in Texas. When I sat there and they gave a briefing on the security of Texas, they talked about 600 and nearly 50,000 crimes committed against Texans alone, including murder, including the worst crimes by illegal immigrants. That's one state in a 7 or 8 year period of time. We played it many times. All right, back to our busy phones here. Let's say hi to Liz, is in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Liz? How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, great. Thanks. I just wanted to make a point about your analysis on the media and Trump and fake news. Obama was quoted several days ago as criticizing Fox viewers as living on a different planet. So he's directly criticizing all the millions of deplorables that watch Fox News. And he's also implicitly suggesting that Fox News is inaccurate and people shouldn't watch it or listen to it. But yet the liberal media goes crazy when Trump makes a point about the fake news.
Listen, let me tell you something. Barack Obama was obsessed with Fox News, hated Fox News, hated me. I mean, when he was running, there was some 8, 9, 10, I don't remember at this point, mentions of me in his speeches. And then somebody got to him because he stopped cold. And because I was using it as the opening for this radio program every day.
Think about it.
That's a hateful thing. Fox News is not hateful.
If you were watching Sean Hannity consistently,
you would.
These guys, they've given me a hard time.
With respect to Sean Hannity, I didn't know that he had invited me for a beer.
I offered to pay, too.
I will take that under advisement. Generally, his opinion of me does not seem to be very high, but I'm always good for a beer.
How are the wife and kids doing?
You know, they're doing great. They seem to be thriving. Watching Nickelodeon. They're not listening to Sean Hannity on Nickelodeon.
I'll put Mr. Burgess up against Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up.
Is Sean Hannity suddenly going to get on the airwaves and say, you know, I was wrong about this Obama guy. He's my man. No. I mean, I think that there's a certain segment of hardcore Sean Hannity fans that probably wouldn't want to go have a beer with me. There's no doubt about that.
I'm kind of proud of that. He knew exactly I had his number way before anybody else. And this is not braggadocio. I'm not patting myself on the back because the reason is we dug deep. We did our job. You know, well, you're not a reporter, Hannity. You're not a journalist. Well, actually, I'm a talk show host. And part of being a talk show host is journalism. Part of it is it's all encompassing. Sometimes I'm an investigative journalist. I call people and get information. And I interview people, do a straight interview. And other times I give my opinion. And other times I take calls. And other times I navigate debates between two opposing views. And other times I debate somebody straight up myself. That's what being a talk show host is. Of course, it's journalism. It's just not traditional journalism. It's advocacy journalism. It's opinion journalism. But as part of being a talk show host, you do real journalism. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. So Linda's skipping school again today. What's up with that?
Who's Lisa?
Oh, sorry, Linda.
Maybe you need to take that cognitive test.
Are you finished? Are you done?
Yes.
All right. All right, so much to get to today. Newt Gingrich is back with us today, and we'll check in with Freedom Caucus member, former head of the Freedom Caucus, co-founder of the Freedom Caucus, Jim Jordan. He has been unbelievable in these hearings. And we'll get his take on all of this breaking news. He has 18 specific questions as it relates to Fusion GPS. And I think we're getting a lot of the answers, not the least of which was the FISA warrant obtained because of the Clinton bought and paid for phony dossier, propaganda dossier. Also, Sarah Carter and Freedom Caucus member Ron DeSantis. Sarah has some breaking news today that we will get to. And your calls, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. We've got a great Hannity tonight. We may be getting an unbelievable guest. I haven't confirmed yet, but we're working on it. I can't do everything at once. I got to do the radio show. We're still working on it, and we'll know more probably by the time we get off the air today. We've still got two more hours to go. 800-941-SHAWN, straight ahead.
Do you believe he is fit for duty?
Absolutely, he's fit for duty.
Just to make sure we're clear on this, when you analyze his cognitive ability or his neurological functions, that is not the same thing as a psychiatric exam.
Given that there's scrutiny of what was overlooked at the time with President Reagan in terms of Alzheimer's and things he was then known to suffer from at a later date, can you say that whether the test that you ran would exclude any of those things and what the possibility of overlooking something like that would be? You know, how can you tell the American people that this time you're certain?
Because of his age, in continuing his physicals in the future, will you also continue the cognitive test?
Having examined him and performed a cognitive assessment,
right.
What is your take of all the doctors and clinicians all across the country who have said that in this president they see symptoms of this, that, and the other?
Symptoms in what way?
Well, symptoms of dementia.
Is there anyone on the president's medical team, such as a psychiatrist or psychologist, whose job it is to monitor the president's emotional state or watch for potential psychiatric problems or indicators of those?
One more question about the Montreal exam and other sort of mini mental status exams. They're pretty good, but they're not really sensitive if someone's already high functioning. They're not really good at finding early stages of dementia. If the president's worried about it, would you recommend more sophisticated exams?
Are we saying that because of Reagan, all right, we had the issues with Reagan, and the issues that, about this president, cognitive testing, mental acuity testing is not commonly part of an annual physical with the president of the United States. Questions have been asked.
Right.
Going back to that issue, everyone has asked about mental acuity. Those questions have been in the public, and he told Sarah to tell you to stay up here until those questions are answered. Going forward, would you recommend that presidents undergo that type of testing?
The 25th Amendment, a lot of people in the country have been talking about it. It basically contemplates that a group of Senate-confirmed laymen will weigh in on whether the president's able to discharge the duties of the office. You, as the president's position, have certainly given this some thought over right. the years that you've been in your role. On what basis would you, and this is just a philosophical question, advise the cabinet that the president is unable to discharge his duties? How does that bar get met?
Explain to me how a guy who eats McDonald's and fried chicks and all those Diet Cokes and who never exercises is in as good a shape as you say he's in.
Do you have a life expectancy range for him based on his results? Number two, what exactly does the exercise and eating plan look like? Is it you're going to put an elliptical machine next to the bedroom and he's going to use it? What does that look like? And then also number three, did you see any evidence of bone spurs, which the president said that he suffered from? Is he limited to one scoop of ice cream now?
I don't limit his diet at all.
One follow-up question. There isn't anything that's a part of the president's health records or his overall physical fitness or any medications that he's taking that you're not permitted to tell us. Is there anything you're keeping from us for privacy reasons?
It's recommended that most baby boomers get screened for hepatitis C. Did you do a hep C test or has he had one previously?
Was there anything that the president or anyone else specifically said for you not to mention today? Some of the president's friends have told reporters in the past that they think he's a germaphobe, that he washes his hands obsessively and is concerned about that. Have you seen any indication of that type of behavior with being around the president?
When the president has his colonoscopy at the next physical, will he be sedated?
Is he too much eating?
I don't...
Sedentary lifestyle, sort of perspective.
Should he cut back on that? I don't know how much TV he watches, so I'm not going to... That's something I just can't comment on, so...
You get why I'm asking, because of the seated sort of aspect of television watching versus the active lifestyle part of it.
Can you tell the current president about his predecessor's exercise routine? And does this president ask you about how he could follow his predecessor's example to be as fit as Barack Obama was? And a second question, do you keep a tally of how much golf the U.S. president plays? That is something the press office repeatedly does not tell us. Do you keep a tally?
Does the president take any medications that you haven't disclosed here today?
He does not. He doesn't take any medications at all that I have not disclosed here.
Do you have any concerns about the president's Twitter?
No, I don't. Yeah, Twitter doesn't involve me as a doctor. I don't have any concern on that.
Other than the diet issue, did you address drug addiction?
Drug addiction?
I mean, yeah. any other drugs?
Yeah, no, he has no drug addiction. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you
for
your time,
Dr.
Jackson.
How about sexual? I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in my life. Anyway, glad you're with us. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'll also be checking in with Jim Jordan. He's been a rock star. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour. And Ron DeSantis and Sarah Carter, we have some breaking news. The questions by your corrupt media. Did you address drug addiction? Does the president wear dentures? How much weight have you suggested he lose? Does Trump need to be sedated? Do you have a life expectancy range for Trump? On what basis, and this is just philosophical, would you advise the cabinet that the president is unable to discharge his duties? Did you take a waist measurement for the president? Did you test his hearing? Can you take us through some of the specific exercises that the president is considering as you look at his routine? Does he watch too much TV? Does he tweet too much? I've never seen anything like this. Former Speaker of the House, now author of the latest best-selling book, and he's got a soon-to-be-written book coming out about the president. How are you?
I'm doing well. And, you know, I'm probably tougher or more decisive than many of the president's advisors. But I think there's a hostility standard that they should establish and simply kick people out. The White House does not have to accept idiotically hostile people in the press corps.
Mr. Speaker, there'd be nobody in the room. They're all hostile.
No, but maybe what they could do is they could put all their pictures up and have a little website, and everybody in America could vote. And the people who are voted the most hostile, the 30% that are the most hostile, get kicked off this month.
Well, I mean, it's so. Listen, even after the admiral, what is he, a 2-star admiral, who's now looked at President Obama, President Bush, he says the president is in excellent health. The president asks for a cognitive exam and aces it. And I looked at the test last night. I'm telling you right now, if you give me 5 questions and come back to me later in the interview and ask me, or 5 words, what they are, I'm not going to remember them. That's just not how my brain works. And so, and he passes it.
I should.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and I'm
just going to say.
Go ahead.
Craig, well, Craig Shirley, who is the leading biographer of Reagan, did contact me today because the one thing the admiral said that was not true was that anything about Reagan and Alzheimer's. Reagan clearly did not have the onset of Alzheimer's until 5 or 6 years after he left the White House. He was fully in possession of his capabilities, and it was not a problem until well after he had retired. And that was just unfortunate because it starts a whole series of left-wing, you know, trying to draw parallels and all that stuff. But I agree with you. I mean, first of all, if you have a 2-star admiral who is now on his 3rd president, who is a professional medical doctor, obviously of considerable capabilities, the nastiness and the childishness of the questions are so demeaning that it just verges on crazy. I mean, I watch this stuff now, and I've concluded that there really is a Trump derangement syndrome, and that you have large elements of the news media totally sucked into it. You see the same thing happening, with people like Robert De Niro in Hollywood, and they can't get a grip on themselves.
You know that CNN is actually taking on the diagnosis, as is, you know, I didn't know we had Liberal Joe in the morning over at MSNBC, Dr. Liberal Joe and Dr. Mika Brzezinski, his soon-to-be bride. You know, they're actually questioning whether or not the admiral told the truth about his weight. And then they go on to say everybody was surprised. They all thought he had early onset Alzheimer's or dementia, and they don't even believe it. And then CNN goes a step further that he's likely to have a heart attack in 3 to 5 years. That's not what the admiral said. He said he would easily probably be able to go through, you know, 2 terms, and he's got good genes.
In fact, at one point he said his genes are so good that if he would die and exercise, he could live to be 200.
Exactly. And all right, you know, I've been to a doctor many times, and he said, you need to lose weight. You need to lose weight. Your cholesterol's a little high, so I take Crestor. And a tiny dose goes such a long way. All right, let me go to some of these other issues. I as bad as things were when you were the speaker, and I was there, I lived it with you, followed it, reported on it regularly, I don't think it pales in comparison to the hostility towards this president. But more importantly,
oh, sure.
We've got a media that will jump from, oh, my God, a nuclear war is coming, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, and then they'll move into he's got dementia. Then they'll move into the 25th Amendment, and then they'll move into, you know, a hostile questioning of his doctor. But they'll never cover any of the good news accomplishments he's had. They never talk about solutions for the American people. They never give him credit of any kind, and it's just I've never seen anything this bad.
Well, you know, it's a combination of, I think, 3 very different things. One is the infantilism of the media nowadays, which really has taken on a Kardashian-like personality. And so a lot of these things, it's the best they're going to do. You've got a lot of reporters who are childish and ignorant, and this is the best they're going to do.
Guess how many times CNN said the word sh-hole? Take a guess and said it.
I have no idea, but I'm sure it's an astonishing number.
195 times.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But, of course, they were giddy. I mean, look, these guys have a real problem. The tax cuts are beginning to work. The business community is responding correctly to the tax cuts. There's genuinely good news out there. The stock market is doing better and better. Consumer confidence is up. Unemployment, African-American unemployment is lower today than at any time than when Barack Obama was president. Every time you turn around, there's more good news. And so these guys have to go overtime to clutter it. I mean, part of what's going on here is a deliberate effort by the elite media to avoid saying anything good about Donald Trump because they're so desperate to not have him win.
Mr. Speaker, do you know that it's also bias in terms of what they don't cover? We now have noticed that the email server investigation is up and running again in Congress, I think in large part because James Comey and Peter Strzok gave an exoneration before investigation. We had an 11-count indictment in the Uranium One case last Friday. That's a story that's been ignored by the media. And we discovered that the Department of Justice has been investigating the Clinton Foundation for months. So I would assume this is the first of many shoes to fall. You wouldn't know it if you watch the mainstream media. And on top of it, we're learning that the Clinton bought and paid for dossier was, in fact, used as a basis for a FISA warrant against an opposition party. Russian propaganda she paid for, used to fix a general election after she fixed the primary election against Bernie. And then it was used to obtain FISA warrants. Now, to me, I've read a lot about Watergate, and you're the historian, but to me, these are historic times, and this could be the biggest case of corruption to steal an election this country's ever seen.
Well, I think that's it's both a corruption to steal the election, but it's also just corruption to be corrupt. I mean, I was really surprised, as you noted, I'm working on this new book on Trump's America. As I began pulling things together, I decided that the Clinton defeat was much more important than I thought at the time, because if she'd been elected, none of this would be coming out. I mean, we were faced with a level of corruption that is stunning, and I think, frankly, and it's a breadth unlike anything we've ever seen. And gradually, it's going to penetrate despite the elite media. But again, I think this is one of the great problems Republicans have, is that they don't understand that they're in an all-out war, and the other side has, as one of its strongest weapons, tremendous domination of the traditional news system.
By the way, does it surprise you?
The strategy to overcome that, they're going to lose.
Does it surprise you that I'm out here on an island again in the media world by myself? That's how I feel all the time. You know, like investigating Obama. Yeah. All right, as we continue, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, he will be joining us tonight. You know, we're spending a lot of time talking about the news media. They never talk about the president's accomplishments either, but the level of which they have been wrong about Trump-Russia collusion, they avoid the email server scandal, felonies were committed, they ignore what they did to Michael Flynn with unmasking and illegal leaking of surveillance, they ignore Uranium One and the fact that we gave up 20% of our uranium, which we need in import, not export. And then the Clinton Foundation, all of which we have talked about, are now under investigation, every aspect of it. How is it possible to ignore what would probably get people in the media a Pulitzer at some point?
Well, I think that it gradually becomes harder and harder. And I think that eventually we'll break through. But remember, they have not yet accepted that Trump is president.
Who needs psychiatric help?
Trying to undo the election.
You know what you're saying?
Huh?
If they, then who needs the psychiatric help?
Oh, they do. That's why I said a while ago. Yeah. I think there is a syndrome where Trump being president drives them crazy. And then there's no question in my mind that the depth of their hostility is so great. But that's why I would be tougher than Trump has been. I mean, I would not allow people who are continuously hostile to be in the White House press corps. There's no reason to put up. They don't have to put up with that.
It's unbelievable. All right, Mr. Speaker, we'll see you tonight on Hannity on the Fox News Channel. Look forward to having you. Quick break. We'll come back. Sarah Carter, Ron DeSantis, Jim Jordan's been a rock star. All coming up. And your calls, 800-941-SHAWN.
The Democrat National Committee and the Clinton campaign, which we now know were one and the same, paid the law firm, who paid Fusion GPS, who paid Christopher Steele, who then paid Russians, to put together a report that we call a dossier full of all kinds of fake news, National Enquirer garbage. And it's been reported that this dossier was all dressed up by the FBI, taken to the FISA court, and presented as a legitimate intelligence document that it became the basis for granting a warrant to spy on Americans. And I'm wondering if that actually took place. It sure looks like it did. And the easiest way to clear it up is for you guys to tell us what was in that application and who took it there.
Congressman, our staffs have been having extensive interaction with both intelligence committees on our interaction with the FISA court, and I think that's the appropriate setting for those questions.
Here's what I think, Director Ray. I think Peter Strzok, head of counterintelligence at the FBI, Peter Strzok, the guy who ran the Clinton investigation, did all the interviews, Peter Strzok, the guy who was running the Russian investigation at the FBI, Peter Strzok, Mr. Super Agent at the FBI, I think he's the guy who took the application to the FISA court. And if that happened, I mean, think if this happened, if you had the FBI working with a campaign, the Democrats' campaign, taking opposition research, dressing it all up and turning it into an intelligence document and taking it to the FISA court so they could spy on the other campaign, if that happened, that is as wrong as it gets. And you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. You could clear it all up. You could clear it all up for all of us here, all the Congress who wants to know, and frankly, all of America who wants to know. You could clear it all up by release. We sent you a letter 2 days ago. Just release the application. Tell us what was in it. Tell us if I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. I think that's exactly what happened. And if it did, it is as wrong as it can be. And people who did that need to be held accountable.
Congressman, we will not hesitate to hold people accountable after there has been an appropriate investigation, independent and objective, by the Inspector General into the handling of the prior matter. And based on that, I will look at all available remedies, depending on what the facts are when they are found. As to the access to the dossier, that's something that is a subject of ongoing discussion between my staff and the various intelligence committees.
There's nothing prohibiting you, Director. Is there anything prohibiting you from showing this committee the what was presented to the FISA court? The application you all put together at the FBI that was presented to the FISA court, is there anything preventing you from showing us that?
The time the gentleman has expired, the director can respond.
I do not believe that I can legally and appropriately share a FISA court submission with this committee.
I'm talking about what the FBI put together, not what the court had. What you took there, what was the process put together, what you presented, what you took to the court.
When I sign FISA applications, which I have to do almost every day of the week, they are all covered with a classified information cover. So that's part of why
Director,
we would not
be discussing that Peter
it Strzok, here.
Is it likely that Peter... We know the Clinton campaign, the Democrat National Committee, paid through a law firm, Fusion GPS, to produce the dossier. We know the author was Christopher Steele. It's been reported that he was on the payroll of the FBI. I'm just wanting to know if, in fact, that is the case.
I'm not able to provide an answer to you.
Did the FBI present the dossier to the FISA court?
I'm not able to answer that.
Do you know if the FBI did the established process protocol in evaluating claims made in the dossier?
I'm not able to answer that.
On January 6th, then FBI Director James Comey briefed President-elect Trump up in New York about the dossier. Shortly thereafter, the fact that that meeting took place and the subject of the meeting was the dossier was leaked to CNN. Do you know who leaked that information?
I do not.
Are you investigating who leaked that information?
That would be a matter within the investigatory powers of the special counsel.
You said you got a number of investigations going on, Mr. Attorney General, regarding leaks. Is that likely one of those that you're investigating?
I'm not able to reveal the existence of investigations or not.
All right, just amazing testimony and really congressional grilling by Congressman Jim Jordan of the Freedom Caucus, who's really taken the front and center lead. He's like the tip of the spear in all of this, seeing and obviously understanding a lot of what we have been trying to lay out and make people understand for a long, long time. Everything, he has his 18 specific questions on the dossier that he laid out, and he joins us, the great congressman from Ohio. Wow, you on that committee has been like must-see TV. How are you?
I'm fine, Sean. I think the must-see TV is your program tonight. I appreciate what you're doing to get to some of these key questions and get answers for the American people.
Before I go over a lot of what we just played for our audience here, when you know you were asking Christopher Wray and you know when you were also arguing about everything, I want to ask, so we know that the Intel Committee got information from the DOJ at the last minute, and apparently there was an effort by Rod Rosenstein not to hand it over and was pleading and begging with Paul Ryan, and to Paul Ryan's credit, he held ground. And apparently, I'm told this information will shock the conscience. Can you tell us anything about what it is?
Well, you're right, and Chairman Nunes gets a lot of the credit, too. Devin has been pushing and pushing, and a number of us have been trying to be helpful to him. But yeah, the DOJ is now handing over documents. Devin has said that he thinks this is going to be important and amazing, not amazing, but the kind of information that needs to ultimately get out to the American people. So we'll see. But every indication I have is that
one of my sources said it should shock the conscience and soul of America. That's a quote.
Yeah, right. I've had people tell me, Jim, as bad as you think it is, it's that bad. So that makes me think, wow, if it really did happen, if the FBI did what all the evidence seems to suggest they did, then this is scary because they dressed this dossier up and took it to the FISA court and made it appear like it was legitimate intelligence to get warrants to spy on Americans. As I've said before, that is not supposed to happen in this country. And you, Sean, why won't they answer just some fundamental questions? Did you pay Christopher Steele? Did the FBI pay?
All right, well, let's go through this slow. I want to go through this. Did the FBI pay Christopher Steele? We believe it's $50,000. There's been numerous reports that it was. What do you know?
I don't know any more than you, but it there's been reports that he's been reimbursed. There's been reports that he's been paid. But if you're paying him at the same time that the DNC and the Clinton campaign are paying him, what is going on there? This is the guy who wrote the dossier, and then you're meeting with him several times in the summer of 2016 before the investigation is launched. So that's a fundamental question. Second fundamental question is, was the dossier, in fact, taken to the FISA court and the basis for getting the warrants? If that happened, if the answer to either one of those questions is yes, then
okay,
I think
but I have numerous sources. Numerous sources have told me that the dossier was in fact the basis for securing the FISA warrant, and another person told me it played a substantial role in that happening. Now, if I recall, FISA rarely says no to these warrants that are requested, but they did say no the first time in this case. And I was told that the dossier may have put it over the top. Have you heard that?
I've heard the same kind of those same kind of statements. Again, I don't know if they're accurate. I don't know if they've been validated, but I heard the same kind of thing. That's why last week Congressman Meadows and I said to the Intel Committee chairman, make available to every member of Congress, give every member of Congress the access to the material you have. I think when we all get to see it, I think you're going to see a growing demand from members of Congress say, release this, declassify this, make it available to the Sean Hannitys and, more importantly, to the American people so they can get answers to all these questions and find out what really happened.
Now, did the FBI or anybody validate and corroborate the dossier? That's one of your questions as well.
Yeah, those are the three big ones. Did you pay Steele, the author of the dossier? Did you use his work product to go get warrants to spy on Americans? And did before you took that dossier to the FISA court, did you validate, substantiate, corroborate the elements and the statements in it?
The answer has to be no, because if they did, they wouldn't have brought it, right?
Right. So, I mean, it has to be because, remember, always forget, James Comey, former FBI director, testified under oath and said it was salacious and unverified. And yet it was substantially used to get warrants. So they had to have not done the due diligence you're supposed to do when you take something to the FISA court to get a warrant to spy on an American citizen. So those are the three big questions. You've got them. And again, it looks like the answer to all those questions is an answer that is not how it's supposed to operate.
Now, they would have you believe that this whole George Papadopoulos story, which is, it comes from Britain, it comes in a drunken bar, it comes from Australia, it comes through John McCain's staffer, basically four-way hearsay. That New York Times story was false, wasn't it?
It's a complete joke. We've been talking about the dossier, and now we're supposed to believe unnamed sources in FBI say George Papadopoulos shooting his mouth off, a 28-year-old shooting his mouth off in a bar in London, is somehow the catalyst for launching an investigation and getting warrants on people. I mean, give me a break. No one believes that. But, of course, this is what happens when folks like you are exposing the truth, asking the right questions. Suddenly the left says, wow, we got to figure out something else.
Well, what about Peter Strzok? And what about Lisa Page? And what about Bruce Orr? And then the biggest question is, did you ever hear of a FBI investigation where the FBI director takes it away from the field offices in-house and puts a special category on it, and then before they even investigate or talk to the main players that they should be investigating months in advance. They're writing an exoneration.
Yep.
That's what James Comey did.
Yeah, you've said exactly right, and you picked the right guy. The best way to tell this story and what exactly happened is through Peter Strzok, the guy who thought he was Mr. Super Agent James Bond at the FBI, deputy head of counterintelligence, the guy who ran the Clinton investigation, interviewed Mills, interviewed Huma Abedin, interviewed Secretary Clinton, the guy who you just pointed out changed that now famous exoneration letter from gross negligence, a criminal standard, to extreme carelessness, Peter Strzok, who ran the Russian investigation, and Peter Strzok, who interviewed Mike Flynn in January of 2017, when he's in the White House, interviews Mike Flynn, and that's where they catch Mike Flynn saying something he's not supposed to say and lying to the FBI. That same guy is exchanging text messages with a colleague, Lisa Page, where they talk about the insurance policy. We can't take the risk that Donald Trump is going to be elected by the American people. We need an insurance policy to stop that.
Yeah, what was the insurance policy? This whole phony Trump-Russia collusion, but there was collusion with Hillary's bought and paid for dossier full of propaganda and lies, just like she fixed the primary against Bernie. She was looking to fix the general, and she had Comey and Strzok fix the criminal aspects of the email server investigation. Yep. A lot of fixing when it comes to the Clintons. We'll take a break. We'll come back more with Jim Jordan, Freedom Caucus member, co-founder. And you were the former head until you got deposed by Mark Meadows. What happened there?
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
All right. Well, you can take a quick break and rest your throat there. I know you've been struggling. All right. As we continue, Jim Jordan, he has been a rock star in these hearings as it relates to the phony, fake Hillary bought and paid for dossier. We now know that a lot of the things that I've been talking about, I know the mainstream media ignores it, but we had an arrest in the Uranium One case. Now we know that the email server scandal is now being investigated. Congress is actually going to deal with that in some capacity tomorrow. Now we also know that the dossier issue is being exposed, and that means people like Comey, Strzok, Page, Orr, and maybe others, McCabe and Rosenstein. Who knows where this is going to lead? Where does that leave us? Where does this all go next?
Well, the think about all the investigations going on. Senate Intelligence Committee, House Intelligence Committee, Senate Judiciary Committee. There's a joint task force between House Oversight and House Judiciary. We have the Inspector General investigation, David Horowitz, and then, of course, we got Mueller's investigation. So all these investigations going on. I think the first thing that's going to happen is Devin Nunes and the Intel Committee are going to complete their investigation, and we're going to get, as members of Congress, access to all the documents and all the classified material. That is, I think, the next thing that's going to happen here as we go through this process. Early March is when Mr. Horowitz is supposed to have his investigation complete on looking at how the FBI handled the Clinton the whole Clinton investigation. So those things are going to be important milestones as we move through this. But you're right. We need access to these key people. The other name that's interesting, Sean, is Jim Baker, the general counsel at the FBI, who was reassigned just 4 weeks ago. Why was he suddenly reassigned? What's going on there? So that's a guy we need to have in for an interview and a deposition as well. But all these people we need the documents, we need access to them as witnesses, and we need to depose each and every one of them.
Are we going to have a government shutdown?
I hope not, but frankly, we need to do what the election was about in 2016, fund our military at the right level, as the president's been talking about, hold the line on the rest of the spending. That's the kind of bill we should send over there, and if the Senate and Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats want to shut down the government because they want amnesty and because they don't want to pay our troops, I'll take that debate any day of the week.
I totally agree with you.
Send the right thing over there.
I totally agree with you.
Folks about that.
All right, I got to let you go. I know your throat's been bothering you. I guess you had a case of this horrific flu. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, not the flu so much as a cold, but I'm doing all right.
All right,
I feel like Hannity so I can keep talking here.
Well, I don't get sick. I have not gotten sick this year. So I would recommend a Z-Pack and prednisone if your voice keeps going bad, all right?
Here we go. Yeah.
All right, appreciate it. Jim Jordan, Sarah Carter, and Ron DeSantis, also a Freedom Caucus member, when we get back, straight ahead.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
There are a lot of questions about this Russian dossier, and there are evidence that has come out that the DNC helped fund it. Did you know that was happening, and were you surprised to hear it if you didn't?
I asked one question on November 4th, and I was told that I did not need to know, and so no, I did not know.
Did the DNC know what was in it?
Well, again, you're going to have to ask folks who were at the DNC at that time. Well, no, I mean, I learned about the dossier a few days ago, okay?
Is that possible? I mean...
Well, because you hire a lawyer, uh-huh. and we hire lawyers all the time who hire third-party vendors to do their work. And uh-huh. so we knew that we were paying for opposition research at the DNC, but we didn't ask questions about who they're hiring in the context of doing their research.
You don't believe Hillary Clinton knew about this either, is that right?
Oh, I don't know.
High up in the campaign, be informed of this?
Well, I mean, she may have known, but the degree of exactly what she knew is beyond my knowledge. For instance, like, it could have been that a decision was made to authorize Perkins Coie to do some kind of commission, some kind of research, but then decisions about going out and finding Fusion GPS, finding Christopher Steele. I mean, she may or may not have been aware of that level of detail. I don't know.
When did you learn the DNC and the Clinton campaign were behind the dossier?
I wasn't aware of the arrangement at all.
And then how could you have led the DNC and be in the dark about the dossier?
I wasn't aware of the arrangement at all.
But do you see these things, Senator, as equivalent of the Hillary Clinton campaign looking for dirt from Russians and Russians offering dirt to the Trump campaign?
If you're asking about the dossier, that was funded by a conservative online publication.
Unbelievable discoveries here. News Roundup Information Overload Hour here on the Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-TRUMP. Remember, it was the year that they lied to us. Oh, Hillary didn't pay for this. Did she even know that she paid for it, her campaign? Of course they knew she paid for it. $12 million, and she controlled, and it was all funneled. Her campaign funneled it through one lawyer. And interestingly, as Donna Brazile said, that she controlled the money at the DNC, that special arrangement that she had that Bernie Sanders didn't have because the fix was in for Bernie Sanders. Well, they funneled the DNC money through the same lawyer as well. Now, Sarah Carter has a brand new story out today that we're breaking. We'll have a lot more on TV tonight about this. And that is a close friend, advisor, confidant of candidate Hillary Clinton apparently was allegedly interviewed by the FBI in connection with the dossier that was used in part as the evidence by the Bureau to obtain the FISA warrant to investigate then candidate, then President-elect Trump and his entire team, according to several sources who spoke to Sarah. Sid Vicious Blumenthal, this should not surprise anybody, a former journalist, close friend of the Clintons, who was interviewed by the FBI in relation to the probe, Sarah's article says, into Clinton's private email, has also been interviewed by the FBI regarding this controversial dossier that alleged Trump colluded with Russia, according to the sources of Sarah. What's going on here? Sarah Carter, who joins us, as well as Congressman and Freedom Caucus member Ron DeSantis.
Well, Sean, it looks like what's happening here is that we're unraveling this incredible picture, and people are starting to come out. People are starting to talk. There's more and more information coming out every day, and what we're seeing is that, you know, Sidney Blumenthal, you know, very close relationship with Hillary Clinton, even going back previously to the Bill Clinton administration where he worked as a White House aide. And remember, there was a lot of controversy around Blumenthal's relationship with Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State, that he was actually more of an advisor to her than just a friend. And that was based on emails that were actually released by the State Department in 2015, which showed this ongoing relationship. Now we have an interesting piece of the puzzle. Sidney Blumenthal was interviewed by the FBI in relation to this dossier. Of course, a lot of the information, and in fact, all of it in relation to this dossier, other than the tidbits that we get out and the dossier itself, is classified. And so now we're waiting patiently for Congress to declassify this, or at least for the entire congressional members of 435 to be able to view all of these documents and see what role all of these people played.
All right, let's go to Congressman DeSantis. Congressman, now, if I'm understanding this correctly, and Sarah's report, and apparently multiple sources now are saying, is that so the Hillary Clinton bought and paid for dossier. Now, remember, she rigged the election, the primary. Bernie had no shot. So that's an important factor in my view. Then James Comey, as well as Peter Strzok, they're writing an exoneration before an investigation. To me, the fix is in, and that's rigged in terms of, because the felonies that were committed, mishandling, destroying classified information, it's obvious felonies were committed. Then we've got her paying for Russian propaganda and lies. We're told it's not corroborated by anybody at Fusion GPS. They'd never corroborated it. But now Sid Blumenthal, who we know is one of the more vicious political tacticians in the world today, is he involved in this? Did he actually corroborate that?
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, this is really, really stinks. I mean, just think about it. The FBI gets this dossier, and either they knew it was funded by Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party and still used it anyways without verifying any of it, which is bad because that's a collusion between one campaign and the incumbent administration against the opposing party's presidential nominee. But if they used it without knowing that it came from Hillary and the Democrats, and I don't know what Sid Blumenthal told them, but if they didn't know that, then they didn't do any due diligence necessary to bring that to the FISA court. So I think either way, there's going to be a lot of folks who were involved in this investigation that are going to have to answer for their conduct. And that's why what Sarah said is important. The whole House is going to get access to these documents that the Intel Committee has. I'm confident that's going to happen very quickly. I have called on the Speaker and Devin Nunes to then use the House of Representatives authority and our rules to declassify this so that the American people can see how this was handled and how Donald Trump may have been targeted.
Do we have any sense of what I've now heard from numerous people? There was a last minute, and I would almost call it a document dump, by the DOJ. This is subpoenaed information that had been out there for a long time. You have a contentious battle with the DOJ and the Intel Committee. I'm told Rod Rosenstein was begging Paul Ryan not to force the DOJ to hand over the documents the Intel Committee rightly deserved. And at the last minute, they were turned over. And what I am told is it is a treasure trove of information that will shock the conscience of America. Is that true?
Well, that's what I'm hearing, Sean, from talking to different members who've seen it. And they basically have told me, look, we want to get you guys read in on this. Anyone who's not on the committee, we want to get you guys read in because it'll be very, very troubling what you read. And think about it. When you're talking about all these documents, you get every report that the FBI generated. And so somebody like Peter Strzok is going to have to write a report about what he's doing. We'll get to see the role of people like Bruce Orr, whose wife worked for Fusion GPS. Obviously, Bruce was one of the right-hand men for Sally Yates, the deputy attorney general. We'll be able to see the other agents who were involved in both Clinton and this investigation. So it's going to shed a lot of light on what we already have. And I think it's going to be very, very significant information.
Sarah, what are you hearing on this? Because, I mean, that sounds look, one guy told me that this is nothing compared to Watergate.
Well, it's going to show us the extent, if there was, and the allegations are that there was extensive FISA abuse. There was extensive abuse with regard to getting the warrants. What we're going to see is exactly what Congressman DeSantis said, were these FBI 302s, those interviews with witnesses, also how the FBI came to the conclusion that If what we're hearing from our sources is accurate and what I've reported, I know to be true that this dossier was used in part to gain a warrant to monitor members of the Trump campaign, then we'll be able to see exactly what did they use and what were they justifying these warrants with. So in that case, yes, it should shock the conscience if what we're hearing is true.
But you're talking about an abuse of power. This isn't just a half-assed break-in of an opponent. This is to definitely, completely orchestrate through paid-for lies by one political party to literally influence and lie to the American people in a propaganda campaign. The information comes from Russia. And then, of course, then we're weaponizing the intelligence community and using that propaganda, those paid-for lies, to now spy on an opposition candidate and then get a FISA warrant. And then that information is then used to spy on a transition team, which I think led to where Michael Flynn is. And you're saying that it's even far more widespread than that. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, you are. I think that it is far more widespread. And I think it's necessary for the American public and for Congress, for all of Congress, to understand what happened here. And if what happened here is, if these allegations are proven true, if all of these allegations and, you know, these concerns coming from, you know, statements made by Chairman Nunez with the House Intelligence Committee and others who have had access to these documents. If this is true, then it's going to be up to Congress, and Congress will have to look at this. It's going to be up to the Department of Justice to look at this. I mean, who knows how far this could go? Could this lead to criminal prosecutions? I don't know. But definitely a very close look at what happened here so it doesn't repeat itself in the future.
I got to take a quick break. More with Congressman Ron DeSantis. By the way, he's running for governor of Florida. We'll touch on that, and we'll check in with investigative reporter, Fox News contributor Sarah Carter. All right, as we continue with Sarah Carter, of course, Fox News contributor, investigative reporter, and Freedom Caucus member, Congressman Ron DeSantis, who's going to be running for governor of Florida, which I wholeheartedly support. So we have Steve Bannon goes before the House Intel Committee yesterday, and there's Mr. Wannabe TV host himself, Adam Schiff, racing to the TV cameras to say, well, he didn't talk about certain items. And we had reports yesterday that Steve Bannon, Congressman DeSantis, that he was expected to go before the grand jury of Robert Mueller, and some deal now has been struck. He's not going before the grand jury. How is one to interpret what's going on there?
I think it's because of the comments that were reported in that book where Bannon was popping off. But I think that's exactly all it was. He was just popping off. He has said repeatedly that there was no collusion. Bannon's like, I worked on the campaign. There was absolutely no collusion. So I don't think he's a particularly relevant witness for any of that. But I think Mueller, because of those news reports, wanted to bring him in to see, because he's had a falling out in the president, maybe he's willing to say some derogatory things. I don't think he's going to do that because it's just not true for him to say it. And in fact, I know he's expressed frustration in the past about these congressional Russia investigations, because you've had these committees investigating collusion. They've been doing it for a year. And guess what the result has been, Sean? No collusion in either the House Intel investigation, the Senate Intel investigation, or the Senate Judiciary Committee investigation.
Unbelievable. Now, none of this even includes Uranium One. Now we have Uranium One. We had an arrest. Nobody in the media seems to want to cover it. And then we haven't heard from the 6 year. We literally had an FBI spy within this ring where Vladimir Putin is trying to get control of our uranium. He has not spoken yet. But he knew about bribery and extortion and money laundering and all sorts of other criminal activities that were going on, Sarah. When are we going to hear from him?
Well, and not just criminal activities, but, you know, counterintelligence activities that, you know, this had started out as a counterintelligence investigation into Russian activities with even with Iran. So I'm hoping, and what I have been told, I've put out the word, is that the informant will be speaking sometime this month. Now, that's what we were told by the Senate Judiciary Committee. I'm waiting to hear back from Senator Grassley's team whether or not they will be calling him before the committee to speak. And I think that's step number one. And we've been told that that is going to take place. Sometimes things in Washington move a lot slower than we wish, but certainly that's going to be step number one, and the informant will be able to talk. And we see right now, with all of these investigations, we see a movement forward. It may not be as fast as we want, but certainly I know that that's something that the committee is prepared to do.
All right, I want to do a little personal business. Now, unfortunately, we're going to be losing Ron DeSantis in the House and a very strong member of the Freedom Caucus. Frankly, the only people I trust now in D.C., just a few others, not many more. And you're going to be making a run to be the governor of the great state of Florida. In other words, you're going to be my future governor, I hope. I will tell you this. I've known you all these years. I cannot more enthusiastically endorse and completely support your run. And I really think the people of Florida will be blessed because I know what a strong leader you are.
Well, Sean, that means a lot to me. We got a good opportunity to build on the success Governor Scott has had. I think this tax bill is going to give us a tremendous competitive advantage in Florida to create a lot of jobs. We have an opportunity to fix our activist courts and live under the rule of law. And I'm going to tell you this, Rush is down there. We're trying to get the great one, Levin, to live full time. And Sean, I'm going to be after you.
I want to. They won't let me leave. It's like I'm stuck. And everybody on my team is shaking their head. Yeah, let's go to Florida. We all want to go to Florida.
We can do a great ribbon cutting. It'll be a big Hannity event. And that will create jobs down in Southwest Florida.
So I'm all for it.
Know when you're ready to pull the trigger, and we'll make sure we get you down there.
God, can you imagine trading in Cuomo for Ron DeSantis? How great would my life be?
There you go, man.
I'm not even.
Money you'll be saving in taxes.
He said, I'm not a real New Yorker anyway, but he takes my real money out of my pocket every day, so. Anyway, thank you. We're going to follow this race in Florida very closely. This is important for the people of Florida, and we really appreciate you being with us. Sarah, we'll see you on Hannity tonight with more of this breaking news. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program.
25th Amendment, a lot of people in the country have been talking about it. It basically contemplates that a group of Senate-confirmed laymen will weigh in on whether the president's able to discharge the duties of the office. You, as the president's position, have certainly given this some thought over right. The years that you've been in your role. On what basis would you, and this is just a philosophical question, advise the cabinet that the president is unable to discharge his duties? How does that bar get met?
Explain to me how a guy who eats McDonald's and fried chicks and all those Diet Cokes and who never exercises is in as good a shape as you say he's in.
Do you have a life expectancy range for him based on his results? Number two, what exactly does the exercise and eating plan look like? Is it you're going to put an elliptical machine next to the bedroom and he's going to use it? What does that look like? And then also number three, did you see any evidence of bone spurs, which the president said that he suffered from? Is he limited to one strip of ice cream now?
I don't limit his diet at all.
One follow-up question. There isn't anything that's a part of the president's health records or his overall physical fitness or any medications that he's taking that you're not permitted to tell us? Is there anything you're keeping from us for privacy reasons?
The fact that the president appears to be, according to the doctor, healthy worries me. I'm disturbed that they
say
he's cognitively healthy.
And you do all this stuff. It's pretty bad.
I think the word
well.
Evil comes to mind.
It's recommended that most baby boomers get screened for hepatitis C. Did you do a hep C test, or has he had one previously?
Was there anything that the president or anyone else specifically said for you not to mention today? Some of the president's friends have told reporters in the past that they think he's a germaphobe, that he washes his hands obsessively and is concerned about that. Have you seen any indication of that type of behavior with being around the president?
When the president has his colonoscopy at the next physical, will he be sedated?
Is he on too much TV?
I don't...
From a sedentary lifestyle sort of perspective, should he... Cut back on that.
I don't know how much TV he watches, so I'm not gonna. That's something I just can't comment on. So,
you get why I'm asking because of the seated sort of aspect of television watching versus the active lifestyle part of it.
Can you tell the current president about his predecessor's exercise routine? And does this president ask you about how he could follow his predecessor's example to be as fit as Barack Obama was? And the second question, do you keep a tally of how much golf the U.S. president plays? That is something the press office repeatedly does not tell us. Do you keep a tally? Does the president take any medications that you haven't disclosed here today?
He does not. He doesn't take any medications at all that I have not disclosed here.
Do you have any concerns about the
No, I don't. Twitter doesn't involve me as a doctor. I don't have any concern on that.
Other than the diet issue, did you address drug addiction?
Drug addiction?
I mean, any other drugs?
Yeah, no. He has no drug addiction. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson.
How about sexual?
I can't even believe that I'm hearing this. 24 now till the top of the year. I can't believe it. That is your investigative news media. They don't care that there was do you understand how profound this is? Hillary rigs a primary. How profound it is an FBI director pulls an investigation away from field agents and puts the email server investigation in a special category, writes an exoneration. They don't even do the investigation until months later. And it even acknowledges in the early drafts of this exoneration that foreign entities got access to classified, top secret, special access program information. Do you not see how dangerous this is? And Peter Strzok, they take out gross negligence. They take out foreign entities. And they come up with this concocted legal contortion as a means of allowing Hillary to continue to run for president. Because obviously, James Comey and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and others know better than we do. Or you do, the American people, who to elect. And it works so good to fix one election, the primary, and fix what is... there's no ambiguity about felonies committed, mishandling classified information. None. and obstructing justice by deleting subpoenaed emails. And then, of course, destroying classified materials. And all of this is known. All of those are crimes. All of that, there's absolutely no excuse for. And it would put all of you in jail. You know, think of Christian Saucier, the guy that took six pictures inside the submarine he was proud to work on, a year in jail. Just think that. And, you know, and all we get is, let's see, you know, a media yesterday, and they're utter brain-dead stupidity because they don't talk about any of these things. Or the bribery, corruption, and extortion and money laundering that we knew was going on 18 months before your government approved allowing the bad actor from the bad country to go ahead and get control of 20% of our uranium. There was an indictment Friday on it. They don't talk about that either. They don't talk about the president's successes either in 1 year, how the economy's turning around, how ISIS has been degraded in such a high level. You know, they're upset that he won't pull up cargo planes of cash and kiss the ass of Iranian mullahs that chant death to America. Or the same with Kim Jong-un. Maybe if Trump bowed and kissed his ring, they would adore him and try to bribe him, you know, evil murdering dictators into liking us. It's insanity. But they're asking such important, riveting investigative journalist questions about bone spurs and about tweeting habits and about television. And maybe he should only have one scoop of ice cream and not two scoops of ice cream. And is he addicted to drugs? You mean they live in this bubble that they convince themselves he's got early onset Alzheimer's and dementia. And then he passed it with a perfect score. And I looked at the test last night. It's not easy. I mean, they'll tell you, what, four or five words ahead of time. Come back to you 10 minutes later and see how many of the words you can remember. Now, I have a good memory. I could tell you everything about Reagan's record. I could tell you everything about my life. I can't even tell you who was on TV last night. Oh, maybe. See, Hannity, you have dementia. And you've got the diagnosis. Then you got a two-star admiral who has been the doctor for George W. Bush and the doctor for Barack Hussein Obama and Donald Trump. And then you've got literally CNN, quote, experts saying, no, he has heart disease, when the doctor said he does not have heart disease. He's likely to have a heart attack in 3 to 5 years. I'm like, it's breathtaking. I can't believe it. But this is real. But they won't investigate the things that are important. Collusion, rigging elections, rigging investigations. Russian propaganda bought and paid for, used to get FISA warrants. Unbelievable. These are the most shocking times I think we could ever live in. And if you ever thought or doubted how important your voice is, well, you got to get rid of that negative chatter in your brain because it matters. Because apparently there's half the country that is buying this collective insanity, and I mean psychiatric insanity, by your news media. I mean, I'm going to listen to Dr. Liberal Joe over the admiral that actually did the examination of the president and Dr. Mika Brzezinski and Dr. Nicole Wallace. Anyway, let's get to our phones here. 800-941-SEAN. Kelly is in North Carolina, home of Congressman Mark Meadows. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you. I just want to say that I find the press to be just as, I mean, they are the ones that are deplorable. And I also find it very unfortunate how they question the president's health, how they question a lot of things. I mean, I didn't see this much coverage on, you know, President Obama smoking cigarettes. I mean, I didn't see anything about his, you know, cardiac or how he functions or anything like that. They didn't even cover 1 ounce of that. And the other thing I find very disappointing about our press is that, you know, you have the major networks, NBC, CBS, ABC. I mean, they're all in the bowl, but these are the main stations that are throughout our major cities. And I don't think people, either they're not awake or they really believe this stuff that these news stations are putting out about, be it the president's health or be it anything that he does, or the comments that he says. And, you know, I'm just thankful that we have programs like yours, and I'm thankful that we have talk radio. But anyway, that's all I have to say, Sean, and thank you for letting me speak.
Crazy times, I'm telling you. Let's say hi to Carl, is in Branson, Missouri. Hey, Carl, how are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all you do. I just think that the media is not going to cover any of the stuff, the crimes or anything like that, because they're pretty much married to the Democratic Party. You've got George Stephanopoulos and Jake Tapper and Chuck Todd and those guys that are all in the lead on the major networks. And then you've got, you know, other folks like Susan Rice, who's married to an ABC, or married to an ABC executive. Ben Sherwood's now at Disney, but he was the head of ABC News, and he's got a sister that was a national security advisor to Obama. And I think that, you know, when you look at the Democrats, I think that they're really tied into the media. I think Brett Boesel did a—
Yeah, we had the study last night. We covered it, 90% negative coverage. The Pew had 95% negative coverage. And by the way, go back to the Obama first year in office, it was only 20% negative coverage. They have an agenda. They're bought and paid for.
I just don't think they're going to cover this stuff, because, you know, pretty much their family, their communications arm to the Democratic Party. And, you know, there's just so many people that are in media that are married to or related to somebody in the Democratic Party. They're not going to turn in their own.
Listen, I and the what you're referring to is 2017, the year the news media went to war against the president. And that's 100% true. Listen, I'm just going to tell you something. Look, this is why this— if you think last year was bad and you think it's bad now, if Nancy Pelosi ever becomes speaker again, God help this country. And I know I don't even like half these Republicans. I don't like a lot of them. But if she becomes speaker, they will try to impeach this man, because nothing else worked. Anyway, appreciate the call. And I want to say, it's not the first time that we on this program have been out on a limb, hanging by a twig, as we did it when we vetted Obama, as we did it when we went all in and to tell you how bad Obama's 8 years were. They never did any of this work. They never wanted to do any of this work. Back to our busy phones. Colorado, Mike is standing by, literally Rocky Mountain High. How are you?
Hi, Sean. Hey, thank you for taking the call. You mentioned this a few moments ago about the FISA warrant.
Yes, sir.
Well, you have a pretty important viewer in Washington. He sits in the White House. And I would urge you, maybe on your TV show or even on the radio, but urge him to declassify that application for the FISA warrant. That's like—
It's not going to be him that does it, but it's definitely going to be— it should be, and I suspect will be, declassified. I know members of Congress will likely get this information probably early next week. That's what I'm told.
Okay, well, hopefully. I mean, he's the chief executive, and he can do it. Now, if you have inside information that somebody else—
Yeah, they're all working on it, believe me, because I'm told, I'll use their words, it shocks the conscience of America. Real quick, Mary in Illinois. How are you, Mary?
Oh, hi, Sean.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, I got to tell you, so I work for a cardiologist at a medical school, and I've been with him for over 30 years, and I've done many examinations as far as typing them out, you know, book chapters and books. And all I'm thinking of, so I'm listening to the report by the doctor, and I'm going, check, 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 you know, head to toe, everything's checking out. It's a great report. And then all of a sudden, the press starts asking these questions. They're like a bunch of fish outside of a fishbowl gasping for air. They have no idea. I mean, John, I think you could send fifth graders in that could ask better questions than that. It was disturbing to me. I got so upset, and I just had to call you and tell you.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, I think that you absolutely could get better questions from 10-year-olds and 5-year-olds. I really do. And not as inane and not as politically motivated. They had so convinced themselves in their echo chamber bubble that they were right. They had already diagnosed him and had him in a hospital room in a rubber room. And it turns out they're the ones that need the room. All right, 800-941-SHAWN. We got a great Hannity tonight. Again, news you're not going to get anywhere else, and we're getting closer every day now. All right, Hannity tonight. We got an awesome show tonight. We may have a huge guest. It's 95%. I just can't say it right now. Also, New King, Rich Michelle Malkin, Dan Bongino, Sarah Carter, Sebastian Gorka, and Austin Goolsbee. And maybe this would be big if we get it. All right, working on it. So tune in tonight at 9, must-see TV, news you won't get anywhere else. It's Hannity on the Fox News Channel. Have a great day. Thank you all so much for being with us, as always. 3 to 6, 3 hours a day, every day is all we ask. And we'll see you tonight at 9, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.